good to be here. It's been, I think 2 years the last time we were here. And I do remember it, remember meeting you. And I always tell people, if you don't remember me, it's probably a good thing. because not a lot of people like me after I'm done preaching in a lot of places we go. Last year we spent some time up in Maine, and I didn't make any friends out there preaching the truth. I'll just tell you that much right now. But it's just how it goes. That's, you know, that's how it goes. What God called me to do is He called me to preach the truth. He didn't, you know, beat around the bush. And I don't beat around the bush. I didn't do it when I was out there as a lost man. I'm not gonna, surely not gonna do it now. Jesus Christ saved me. I've given my life over to Him and whatever He wants for me. People always say, gosh, you go kind of overboard with this. Well, you were telling me the same thing when I was out there sinning. That I went overboard in the drinking. I went overboard in this. Now that I'm out there preaching and loving Jesus Christ, I'm going overboard. Which one would you rather have?
Amen.
I'm thinking you'd rather have the man that you see today. But you know, the Bible's very clear on this. It says that the draw nigh unto God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. And most Christians today are living near God because they have no clue what it is to be nigh unto God. What is the difference between near and nigh? Well, to be nigh God or to be nigh unto something, I'm near that plate right there. But the thing that's stopping me from getting nigh to that plate is there's something in between me and that plate. Okay, so in order for me to get nigh to that plate, that means that things, whatever between me and that plate, I have to remove that. And this is where people have become comfortable today, is living near God.
Amen.
They're not worried about taking that thing that's between them and God and drawing nigh unto God. They're just going to leave that thing there and they're going to live near God and wonder why we are in defeat.
Amen.
Wonder why we are where we are today, brother, because quite frankly, we're getting beat up. Okay, compromise and so on and so forth. And the compromise today, I've only been saved a few short eight and a half years I've been saved or whatever. And the Lord has shown me some great things. But I just tell you this today, that we as Christians, we need to get that thing out from between us and God. We need to start drawing nigh unto Him. Our country's a mess and our churches are going to hell in a handbasket.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I want to share with you for a few minutes here on the. I like to do word studies. Pastor John, who I love dearly, he's taught me, you know, as a young Christian, even before I got saved, on how do I study my Bible? I had no clue how to study a Bible. Just pick a word and study it. And so that's how I study my Bibles. I pick a word and I go through it. The Lord pricks my heart on something, and I just go in there and I just tear it up. I don't use dictionaries and commentaries. I just go, I don't need any of that stuff. Why? The King James Bible is what I need. God said He'll teach me all things. If the Holy Ghost in John 14:26 said He'll show me and teach me all things, what do I need anything else for? There's nothing out there I need, okay? And so for 8 years, I studied to get my doctorate, and it doesn't make me any better of a person. It doesn't make me any smarter, but it does help me get into jails and prisons. Okay? That was the whole point of me getting my doctorate. I didn't go to Bible college. My Bible college was sitting at my kitchen table with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. It would have been easier just to hold up a sword.
Been easier. Okay? It would have been easier, but I sit at the table with the Holy Ghost, and He teaches me those things. And so just because I have that paper, it really helps me get into the jails and prisons and such like that. And so I got it in Christian counseling. For what? To go help these men. Okay? I can't. What am I going to do? Charge them a honey bun? You know, what am I going to charge them? A cup of coffee? Okay. Number two, nowhere in the United States am I allowed to collect money because of my past criminal history. I can't collect money to be a counselor, okay? But my whole point was not to go there and collect money. My point was to get some people some help. You had to go out there and get some people some help. And so I want to teach you a little bit on the word wanderer, okay? The word wanderer is in your Bible 38 times, okay? It's in the New Testament, it's only used 37 times it's used negatively. The rest of the times it's used positive. And there's only one, and it's talking about in Hebrews 11:37, it's talking about the apostles and such. They were stoned and they were cut asunder and were tempted and were slain with the sword. And it says, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins and being destitute and afflicted and tormented. You see, that's what they did when they're out there preaching the gospel, my friend. And we complain about the little things we face.
Amen.
What about Paul? Look what he went through to go out there and get the gospel, and yet here we are, we whine and crying like little babies. Okay? We didn't go through anything that these men went through to get the gospel out there today, but yet we act like we have gone through the worst trials and tribulations in our entire life. Okay? And I just sit back and I look and I go, man, I start whining, right? Because I get to be effeminate. I get to be effeminate. Yes, my pastor taught me what that word effeminate meant many years ago, and I realized, my goodness, I'm effeminate, okay? And I didn't want to be effeminate anymore because, you know, I learned how to react on my emotions, okay? A man was made to react on his intellect. Well, today that's not there anymore. Do we have emotions as men? Yes, I have emotions. But my emotions should not trump my intellect, okay? When a situation comes up, automatically, if I react on that without thinking, now I've become effeminate. Guess what? Do I handle those situations right? No, I do not. Okay? God didn't design me to have that, but guess what? That's all been reversed. It's all been taken out of the way, and those roles have been switched and so on and so forth, and it's a mess out there. And look at it. You know, men are reacting like little ladies and such like that, and they can't hold a house together, can't hold a home together and so on. But you know what? Me and my wife would not have been married. Yesterday was our anniversary. We've been together 18, married 16. But I tell you what, if we didn't get saved 8 years ago, we wouldn't be married today.
Amen.
That's a reality. She put that on there yesterday, that if Jesus Christ did not step into our lives, we would not be married today. Why? Because I was effeminate, and I was abusive, I was a drunkard, and an alcoholic. Okay? Okay, and that's it. God said, you know what? We're going to go ahead and switch that around. She used to pray that God would kill me, and he did. He killed me 8.5 years ago and gave her the husband she needed. Thank God for it.
Amen.
But anyway, a wanderer. How about being a wanderer? There's only one good time it's used, and that's talking about the apostles and so on and what they went through to get the gospel out there. And so today my question is, are you tired of being a wanderer? Well, what is a wanderer in the Bible? Let's get in there. If you would turn with me to Hosea chapter 9, that's in your Old Testament. It's in the Minor Prophets here. Look what it says here in Hosea chapter 9. And we're going to go to verse 17. Kind of getting used to doing Facebook Live and such. When it all first started for me up north, my pastor asked me, he said, hey, would you do your lessons on Leviticus? And so that's what I did for many weeks. I taught on the first 5 chapters of Leviticus, which are some of my favorite things to teach on that in the book of Exodus and the tabernacle and such. And so kind of getting used to the Facebook Live thing here. And we kind of stopped it at our church, but I think we need to bring it back only because there are people who are no longer getting the gospel now because they can't come to church, my mother being one of them. Because she has COPD and such, it's probably not smart for her to come. But now that we're not having a Facebook Live, she doesn't get anything. Okay, my mother's unsaved. Okay, she needs to hear the preaching. And so anyway, look what here it says in Hosea chapter 9 and verse 17. It said, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken to him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Brother Tom, if you could pray for this service.
Praise God, Father, and thank you for the state, Lord. Thank you for love and kindness, mercy, and grace. Lord, I just want to pray for Brother Maury, Lord. I pray you give him the words to speak to us, Lord, through your truth, your word, Lord, and just anoint the message today, Lord, and the teaching. And Lord, I just pray for the people that aren't here yet. I pray you'll give them traveling mercy to make it here to hear from you today, Lord. And we'll be sure to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. In the holy precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray and ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And so I want to show you here, one of the first things that we see somebody who's a wanderer is they're a castaway, okay? And Jesus Christ gives us a good example of that. If you would, turn with me, if you like to turn in your Bible. I love to turn. It's called Bible exercise. It's good for us. Look at Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to show you something here the Lord showed me sitting at the table the other day. And this is fresh to me, but look at Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to go to verse 18. I may have that written down wrong. That's just how I do things. Let's see. Here it goes. 21 chapter. We'll start in verse 18. Matthew chapter 20. I want to show you something a little bit about castaway. Here's what it says. It says, now in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungry, talking about Jesus. Verse 19, when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only, and he said unto it, let no fruit grow from thence forward forever. And I just want you to see there, that tree had leaves on it. That means that thing was alive. It wasn't dead. It's a picture of a saved person who's no longer bearing fruit. See that? Jesus Christ, that thing was alive. It had leaves on it, but it was no longer bearing fruit. What's Jesus Christ do? He goes ahead and makes it a castaway. That person will never bear fruit again. Okay? That person will never be used of God ever again. Jesus Christ gives us an example of that. That's what we see in Hosea chapter 9, verse 17, is a Christian who has been saved. Jesus Christ saves them, calls them out there into the ministry. Listen, everybody has a ministry. Whether it's in a ministry, whether it's in a church, whether it's in your family, wherever it is, God has called you to that ministry. And I'm just telling you right now, if you become a wanderer, one of the things that Jesus Christ is going to do is going to make you a castaway, and you'll never be used again. You'll sit here until he calls you home. You'll sit here and be like that fig tree, and you're never going to bear fruit again. What a horrible life, Brother Tommy. Could you imagine that? Never being able to bear fruit again, just walking around wondrously aiming. I mean, what a horrible life that is. I thank God. I thank the Lord Jesus Christ that he has not made me a castaway, because there's times in my life that he should consider making me one. Why? Because I turn from him. You know, I lose all that joy the salvation and such, and I start wandering away. One of the things that I have to learn, me and Brother Tommy were talking about today, is learning how to have character. I was never a person who had character. I had no clue what character was. And now when I got saved, God has called me to have character. Teach me how to have character. So if you think of me, or when you do think of me, please pray that the Lord show me how to have this character that he would like me to have. Because I sure would not want to be a castaway. I wouldn't want to be a wanderer, okay? Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. We're going to go to verse 24 and 25. Look at this. Luke chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. Look what it says here. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself? But here it is, or be cast away. My friend, what has become so important in our life? Look, if you go to back to Daniel chapter 1 and you go to verse 8, it says that Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the things of the world. Yep. You know what? He purposed himself that he was not going to live for the things of that world. He was not going to put himself out there. But I'm telling you now, if you want to gain the world, there's a chance, if you're not saved in here today, that you'll lose your soul in hell. And hey, let me just tell you something, Christian. You want to dip your toe in the world, and there's a chance that you'll become a castaway. Okay? Purposing in your heart not to defile yourself. Because Daniel purposed in his heart in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Guess what? In Daniel chapter 3, he was able to defeat the devil when the devil came to him and tried tempting him with music. Wow, what's he going to do? He's going to get him down to bow down to a false god. Ezekiel 28 tells us the devil was created with the pipes inside of him. He was over the throne playing music day and night. What's one of the attacks that the devil uses today? Music. He gets him to bow down to that false god. He gets him to bow down. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, Paul talks about that one that comes and preaches another Jesus with another spirit and another gospel. That's what he's warning you about in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14, when he tells it that the devil says this, I will be like the Most High God. He didn't say he's going to be the opposite of God. He said he'll be like it. So what do? We usher in some music that sounds Christian, country, rock, hip-hop, whatever you want to call it, death music. Go ahead and put one of those perverted Bibles in there and get that spirit of Antichrist in there and call it Jesus.
That's right.
Call it Jesus. There ain't no Jesus in that. Jesus is so far away from that, he wouldn't even look at it. That's what a wanderer does. But look here, that's what a man wants. Hey, you can go live any way you want and be okay. That's what that verse just said. But you're going to lose something. If you're not saved, you're going to lose your soul in eternity. If you're a saved man or woman here, you'll be a castaway. Isn't that what that just said? Or be a castaway. That means he's talking to two different people there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And look at what it says here in verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Christian, look what it says here. It says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Okay? Look it, man. If we're going to go out there and live a Christian life and tell people we're Christians, and we're going to go out there and preach that lifestyle, then it says you must live it. If we can't live it, then we can't go out there and proclaim it, okay? Because when we proclaim it and we don't live it, God says what? You'll be a castaway. Paul warned of that. He warned that we'll become that castaway. He'll be warned that God will go ahead and he will cut those blessings off in our life. I mean, you ever walk around here and see somebody's life that's complete misery and wonder, man, what happened to that person? God cut them off. He made them a castaway. I'm telling you right now, I've had glimpses of where God has turned me to myself. You know, brother, you know what? When God wants to get a hold of Israel, guess what he'd do? He'd turn them over to their self. In the New Testament, Romans chapter 1, it said God turned them over to those things. God made them that way. My goodness, the worst thing that can ever happen to you is God turn you over to yourself. Turn you over to yourself, and then guess what? He leave you there. Leave you there in that hard bondage and such. Look at the children of Israel. God delivers them out of Egypt. And guess what? When hard times come, the very first thing they want to do is run back to Egypt. You know what's in Egypt for them? Death, slavery, starvation. My friends, that's what we have going on in churches today, are people who are running back out to Egypt after God has taken them out. Why? Because they're more comfortable in it. More comfortable in that bondage. More comfortable in that death. How about that sinner? Starts coming to church. Knows they're not saved. God starts bringing them out. He starts showing them the goodness of God. And he starts leading them out. The very first thing, the very first pressure that pops up, they go running back to Egypt. I'm working with a guy now, and I love him to death. It's one of the things that we do in our ministry is we go pick people up from jail. And we try to get them established out there, get them in a church and work with them and such. And so Mike made a profession in jail, and he come to quickly find out that profession is not salvation. Jesus Christ is. All those professions people are making, that profession is not Jesus Christ. He is, and that is not salvation. Okay? Profession is not salvation. It won't do a bit of good. He got a jailhouse religion. I mean, he could come back here, Pastor, and he could preach a message out of that Bible, man, that would blow your mind. Lost. He got out and he said, Dale, he goes, I thought I was saved. He goes, I quickly realized I'm not. Now he's back out there. Back out there, living that way. He's become a wanderer. He's become that one who thought somebody had told him, somebody convinced him, you're okay. You'll be just fine. I'm convincing him. Look it, man. Get in your Bible. What's the Holy Ghost telling you? Up and down. I think I'm saved. I think I'm not. I think I'm saved. He finally comes to the realization. He says, I don't have it. I said, you don't have it. You're right. But I can't tell you that. Only God can show you that.
Amen.
Only God can show a person when they're lost. Here's Jesus Christ and Peter. They're walking side by side. He says, hey, Peter, who do you say I am? He says, thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. What's Jesus Christ's response? Flesh and blood have not shown that unto thee, but my Father. My friends, only God's going to be able to show people things. We can't go out there and show them everything. All we can do is be faithful to preach that word of God. Amen. Faithful in our Christian life. But it's the Father that's going to show them.
Amen.
But we can't show them if we're cast away and a wanderer.
That's right.
Can't do that. Can't go out there and do those things that God has called us to do. Jeremiah 6:19 says, hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. Man, listen. Their thoughts, even the thoughts are going to be evil. Even the thoughts of people are going to be wicked. And that's so prevalent today. I walk in churches. We travel around quite a bit. And I walk in churches. And you know what God showed me the other day? Whoever or whatever the man of God does in that church, the people follow. Good or bad. Good or bad. And I'm talking about a negative situation. Where I looked and I said, why is this going on in this church? And then I looked and I turned to the man of God and I looked at him. And I watched him and I've known him a while. I go, bingo. They feel comfortable doing what they're doing because of what the man of God does.
That's right.
Okay?
That's your man.
Okay? That's the reality. And that really just struck me the other day. I was just like, my goodness. My goodness, how the pastors have let their guard down, how they have let their sheep down and don't even know they're doing it.
Right.
Okay, why? That man's a wanderer. He's about to be a castaway. Yeah. Pastor John talks about him being a castaway because he closed up that church in Vermont. He left way too early. He didn't close it up, but he left. And God cast him away after that. He talks about that. He talks about that. And I watch men who are on the verge of being that castaway. Being that wanderer out there. Pastor John, for all those years, I forgot how many years he's out there wandering from state to state, just all those things that went upon him. That's the very first sign of a wanderer is a castaway. So may that God, like that fig tree, says, boom, you're not going to bear any more fruit. But God was merciful in the Pastor John. He's allowed him to bear fruit. He's allowed him to go back up and be a pastor now. 13 years, right? Yeah. 13 years. And thank God he showed up at my doorstep. God, he showed up at my doorstep. Because now me and my wife are saved, not going to hell. Amen. And you know what? We know it for sure. We can raise holy hands without wrath or doubting, right? Here's a saved person doing all the stuff that I did. That's what I would tell him. I'm saved, man. Don't worry. Hey, John, listen, you don't have to worry about me. Just get out of my house and leave me alone. Don't come back here again. He'd leave and I'd say, I want what he has.
Amen.
I got what he has. Thank God I got for what he had. Thank God for Jesus Christ coming in and stepping into my life. And then 6 months later, saving my wife. And what a wonderful thing it's been. Is it perfect? No. We were just talking today, right, Brother Tommy? It's not perfect. I don't walk on water and bullets don't bounce off of my chest. But I tell you what, it's a whole lot better than what I used to live. My life, man, listen, my life has been flipped, turned upside down. Why? Because that Bible says that that I'm a new creature. What does that mean? Do I look differently? No, I'm the same old ugly dude with the same old ugly tattoos.
Amen.
Walking around the same old ugly body. But I'll tell you what's different about me. I have Jesus Christ living inside of me.
Amen.
That's the difference, okay? That's the difference. I don't have a choice to live any way I want. Remember, I lost that in Romans 8:28, where it says, all things work for the good to those who love God. Are called according to my purpose? No, his purpose.
Amen.
It's not my purpose anymore. I lost that purpose, and thank God I lost it. Because you know what? My purpose was hellbound. Thank God it gave me the word of God, the man of God to preach it, and the Holy Ghost to bring conviction, bring repentance, and salvation. Thank God for it. I'm no longer a wanderer out there. No longer into the drugs and the alcohol, into the gang life. No longer out there being abusive to my wife and children. No longer out there wondering, what's going to happen? Where am I going to go to and fro? What's going to happen again? What life am I going to lose again? What is it going to be this time? What is it going to take this time? It took the Holy Ghost of God to break me. But you know where I had to be? In church. Let me tell you, if you're lost in this room today and you at all compromise being in church, I'm telling you, you'll stay lost for eternity. You need to be in church hearing the word of God being preached by the man of God and let the Holy Ghost work in your heart. That's why it says, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. Listen, I understand that people were sick and so on. That's very understandable. That's fine. But I'm telling you now, if you're a healthy person and you're lost and you know you are, you need to be under the Holy Ghost preaching. That's where you need to be, under that King James Bible, and let God work in your heart.
Amen.
That's the only thing. We're born again. How? By the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
It stops you from being that wanderer. It just puts you in your place. You know what it says? That you become guilty and your mouth is stopped. You shut up.
That's right.
I didn't have any more excuses than that. I got saved. It was over with for me.
Right.
I got down and I knelt in front of my couch, in front of my bed, and it was over. I had no excuse. Well, it's because of this. Well, it's because of that. Oh, it's because of this. I had none of that anymore. It was over with. The Holy Ghost showed me exactly what I need to see. And guess what? It shut my mouth. And I stood guilty before a holy God, understanding exactly what needed to happen. And guess what happened? I got saved, and it changed my life for eternity.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God for it. Thank you, Jesus, for what you do to a person who was a wanderer his whole life. You know, it could have been a castaway. Could have went to hell for that. But Jesus Christ said, no, I'm going to put my finger on his heart. And I'm going to work with that man. And he loved me, and he did that. So what he did, you know what? I'm the one. It was my choice.
Amen.
But it was his choice to go on the cross.
Yes,
I had a man ask me this, Pastor. He said this. He said, if God's so loving, why does he cast people in hell? I said, he does not cast people in hell. He chose the cross. They choose hell.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
Okay? It's your choice. Amen. You end up in hell, that's on you, man.
That's right.
You can't blame God. He chose the cross. Chose the cross. Imagine that, choosing the cross for people like us. Proverbs 1, 23-33 says, for those who have rejected God and become wanderers, it says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you. It's small s, that is important in your Bible.
Amen.
I will make known my words unto you, because I have called and you have refused. You understand? God is putting a calling on your life today. Whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian in this room today, there is a call that's going out to you, and this is why you have the ability today. Let me say something. Did you thank God that you're able to sit in the church pews this morning?
Amen.
Did you thank God that you could have been dead? You could have been burning in hell or somewhere else, depending on where you are in your Christian walk. You should be thankful that you're sitting here, hearing the preaching going on, hearing that Bible going on, and God is giving you one more opportunity.
That's right.
Amen.
One more opportunity. Look, he says, I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Verse 25, it says, but you have set at naught my counsel. That means you just put it away. And would none my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Let me just tell you something. There is no fear of God in people today. There is zero fear of God in an unsaved person, and there's barely any fear of God in a saved person today.
That's right.
I travel around. I watch. Listen, let me just tell you this. If you're unsaved today, you are condemned. That means you're a dead man or woman walking. How much is that fear? How much fear does that? Where does that drive you? What has it done to you to make your life different? How much more has it made you seek God? If you really understood and you really believed where you stood in God's eyes, it would drive you to the cross.
Amen.
Think about that. You're a dead person walking. If you were to stop breathing today, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to bust hell wide open. But yet there is no fear in that. I didn't get saved because I was afraid of hell. I got saved because I realized I'm a rebel against the holy God. And I did not want to spend eternity in hell.
Amen. Amen.
Where's the fear anymore? Where's the fear of God in Christians anymore? There used to be a time when men and women were afraid of God. They were afraid of what God could do in their life. They were afraid. There's no more of that. And look at what he says. I will laugh at your calamity. He's laughing. There's Christians today that God is laughing at. There are unsaved people today who are in struggles that God is looking down and laughing at, saying, all you have to do is come to me. Yeah. Look at, but you rejected it. And he says, I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock it when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. You see, my friends, you look at these lost people, and guess what? You see every one of these on their face. You see the anguish. You see the destruction of their lives. You see what's going on. You read it, but you know what? They can't see it. They don't understand it. They just think another person is trying to get me to turn to some religion. Religion couldn't touch a person like me, my friends. If you don't know who I am, come and let me tell you about my story. Religion couldn't change a person like me. Religion couldn't touch a person like me. Religion was never going to do anything for me but send me to hell. That's what a religion would do. Amen. So go ahead and just get rid of the religion and let me show you about the relationship that you can have with Jesus Christ that's life-changing.
Amen.
Life-changing. That's what that relationship is. It'll change your life. Look at it says here. Verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You see that? They did not choose the fear of the Lord. What a generation the Bible talks about. There is a generation out there. There's a generation out there who says there is no God. They're fools in their heart. They choose. It's a choice they have to make, and they continue to make it. I know I watch a lot of young people who've grown up in churches and stuff like that. They have lost all fear for God. They have made that choice that they're not. I know people whose preacher's sons today have never read the Bible. They have no fear of God. They don't have a fear of hell. They sat underneath that preaching their whole life. You know what they did? Just like Paul did when he was on that island there and he shook off that viper. That's what they're doing with conviction. They're shaking that conviction off. They're shaking it off. And they'll leave church house the same way they came in that place.
Amen.
They'll leave the same way they came in that place. And about death and hell doesn't faze them a bit. I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find. For they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised my reproof. Therefore, they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. My friend, if you've been saved any amount of time, you know that's the worst place you can be.
Amen.
Getting turned over to yourself and eating the fruit of what you've done.
Amen.
And God shows that to you. I just shared this with you. Yesterday, we went down to that water place. Because it was me and Amy's anniversary yesterday, so I wanted to take to see the sunset and such. And so we get down there, and we're walking down the walkway, and we see a circle of people. And in that circle is laying a woman, unconscious, just laying there. And we sit there, and we stare for a minute, and I said, Amy goes, should we just keep going? I said, yeah, you know what, let's keep going. Inside, brother, God arrested me. He said, you'll stop and pray. Guess what I didn't do? I kept walking. I did not stop. And as soon as I got far enough past, I was just like, Amy, I said, I should have just stopped. She goes, let's pray now. I said, all right, we can pray now. But it just, it didn't satisfy, right? God was still putting that pressure on me. I said, no, 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 I'm not gonna go back there. We're just gonna sit here and wait. Now it's like I was, my feet were stuck in the mud. I couldn't move. And then I said, all right, we're gonna go. Let's go see what's going on. By the time I got back there, the paramedics were working on her and such. So I didn't pray. And I walked past, I told my kids, I looked down, I said, I blew my chance with God, guys. So I told them, did I not tell you that looking on them? I said, I blew my chance with God. I said, if God tells you to do something, do it right away. Do it immediately. Just go and do that thing.
Amen.
I'm not even kidding you, brother. As soon as I got done saying that, that man walked back down, the one was with her. And I said, sir, we just got done praying as a family. I said, can we pray? What's her name? He's in tears. I said, let's pray. He just stopped. A calm came over him. You know what I was able to do? I was able to help that man and drive him to a place he needed to go. I was able to witness to him in my front car. God gave me a second chance.
Amen.
But let me just say this. God doesn't always do that.
That's right.
That was my disobedience. And God was merciful unto me yesterday. I was able to go out there and do that. I'm not a hero. I didn't do anything out of the ordinary that the average Christian should be doing. But I was disobedient in front of my wife and my children to God. And what's that show them? That's important. That's why I had to talk to my shame to my children and tell them, don't ever do that. When God tells you something, he puts his finger on, do it. Just do it.
That's right.
Just do it. God forgave me. I confessed that and I told him I'm sorry. That's what it says. You despise my reproof. Therefore, you should eat the fruit of your own way. And I knew my whole day was shot. I knew everything. I didn't even know how today was going to turn out because I had been so disobedient to do that. Have you lost that? Have you lost that fear of what God is going to do to you because you're disobedient? Have you lost that fear of what, man, is God going to do because I just didn't do that thing right there? I still have that fear. Let me tell you something. If you're lost here today, there came a point in time in me and my wife's life as lost people when we were seeking that we were afraid to get in a car. We were afraid God was going to have us killed right there on the spot, send us straight to hell. We were afraid of that. There became a time in my life where I was afraid as a lost person to eat. I thought I was going to choke and die. I had a fear of God. I chose to have that fear of God because I knew that if my eyes were to close in death, I knew where I would spend eternity, and that's not what I wanted. It was a very short time after that me and my wife ended up getting saved. Let me just tell you this. For you ladies who have birth, you've had babies, it's a very painful experience. But as soon as that baby's born, that pain is forgotten. That's what it is for salvation, my friend. Getting there. Getting to that birth. Listen, being saved was the easiest thing that ever happened to me because Jesus Christ saved me. It was his salvation. But I'm telling you, getting to that point where God had to show me was hell. That was a hard place to be. But I'm going to say this. All that has been forgotten now because of the joy of the salvation that Jesus Christ gave me. But going through that birth canal was painful, man. And I tried to abort that sucker. I tried to abort that salvation. God said, we won't have that. I sat there underneath that preacher for 4 years as a lost person. 4 years knowing that. You see, people aren't allowed to sit in churches today lost. They got to run through some microwave salvation, and that person's nothing but a twofold child to hell.
Everybody.
Babe, it was going to send me and you to hell. How about that profession sending me and you to hell? I am me. A profession was going to send me and my wife straight to hell. A profession that had no change in our life whatsoever, had no bearing on our life whatsoever. God in his mercy. Look at it says here.
Amen.
For the turning of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of all evil. Fear of evil. Proverbs 27:8 says, as a bird wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. Where is your place? Is it among the world? Have you wandered away from God? You see, this bird, she was safe up in her nest. Nothing was going to touch her and her babies. But the very moment she left that nest, the very moment she left that safety, all the dangers were there. Everything that could attack her was there to attack her. My friend, where are you at today? Are you that wanderer? Are you that bird who's left the nest? Are you that one who's left where Jesus Christ has called you to? Are you out there trying to? Listen, I always tell this to people. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar tries to get them to bow down to a false idol, a false god with music. By the time the end of that verse, chapter comes around, it says that Daniel and his friends were able to change the king's word. You know what that means? That means the world didn't change Daniel. Today, the world's changing the Christians.
Amen.
We're not out there changing them anymore. We're not out there trying to, we're not out there winning that battle. Why? Because we've become wanderers. We've become a wanderer. And we're getting close to become castaways because we've just let it go. We just let all that go. Everything that God has did for us. Remember when you got saved, the people that put time into you? I remember the people that put time into me. Pastor Randall was one of them. I love that man to death. He's the only one I was ever afraid of in my entire life as a man. I was never afraid of, you ask my wife, I was never afraid of another person. First time I met him, I said, I believe he can take me. I left it at that. I loved the man. I loved the way his was, demeanor. But then guess what? Pastor John came along. They put time into me. Pray, Tim McVeigh, another one put time in with me. Evangelist Cliff Taylor, another one who put time in with me. All those people put that time in there. How about it? Are we doing the same? Or have we become that wanderer? Are we close to being that castaway? Okay? That's not what God wants for our life. And so, my friends, I just say, we should be out there changing the world. The world should not be out there changing us. Okay? It's time for us to repent. People say, well, isn't repentance only for lost people? No, that's a lie. Repentance is for all people, saved or unsaved. Okay? Right. Repentance, we need repentance every day. This morning, even this morning. That's funny. He said he was praying for repentance on certain things, and I did the same this morning. I got down and said, my God, I've been a fool. Okay? I've acted foolish, and I've done some foolish things, Lord. I said, well, you know, forgive me for those things and help me to get back on. Help me not to be this wanderer that's used in the Bible negative 37 times. If you're a wanderer, it's a negative thing in the Bible. God is not happy with a wanderer. Okay? He's not happy with somebody who's out there who's left his purpose. Remember, it's his purpose. Jesus, I'm going to close with this. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. You know how we can show our love back to him? Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's our due. That's what we should. This is your reasonable service, it says.
That's right.
This is your reason. It's just something reasonable that he expects from us. And that's how we can show him our love back, is to go ahead and live our lives according to what he would say. And what a wonderful thing. Isn't it a wonderful life, Amy? I mean, what a wonderful life. Where now my wife can look at me and no longer does she want me to die. No longer does she pray that God will kill me. Okay? She was very happy about our anniversary. She was very happy because we get to spend whatever days God gives us on this earth. And God, you know what? Jesus is that merciful. My friends, if you're struggling with anything in here today, I don't care what it is. Jesus Christ can take it all. Rehab's not going to help you. Jail's not going to help you. Mental hospitals aren't going to help you. Psych doctors aren't going to help you. None of that baloney is going to help you. How do you know, Dale? Because I lived it. My whole entire life, I was raised in those things, and not one of them helped me. Today, Jesus Christ has delivered me from every one of them. I am no longer in recovery. I'm recovered ED. No longer am I on any psych medicines, mental hospitals, or anything else. Haven't been into a jail or a prison, except for on this side now to go and preach. Why? Because that's what Jesus Christ does. He changes lives for eternity. I'm done.
Amen.